My God, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But there's some things we have to do to position ourselves right. And I'm so proud to be heading a church that you believe that. This little church does a lot, and it's because you trust him, and that tells me that you're positioned. So praise God for your positioning. Are you ready to receive it?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I don't yet have an abundance for every good work, but I'm believing for it. Praise God. Well, I get the honor and the privilege of inviting not just a speaker, but a very, very, very close friend. And I'll tell you why this is such an honor, because through health issues, God has spared the life of this man so that he's in our midst. How many of you have ever gone through something and or you've heard somebody that's gone through near death and they're still alive, and they'll say, well, God must not be finished with me yet. Well, let me tell you, God is far from finished with this man. And this is one of the reasons, among many, that he carries. He's here to drop a blessing bomb on you in the form of a love letter from God. And so these are not all walking out because I'm about to introduce Tom. There are our youth and our children heading out to. Can we take a minute and pray for them?
Yes.
Father, we do realize that our children are our future. And Lord, what you give us in seed form. These are seed for kingdom future. So we pray as they go to their respective places that God, you would go with them, that Holy Spirit, you would hover over them, that you, Lord, you would be their teacher and their guide this morning. And I thank you, God, you're growing up champions, Esther's and Daniel's and Paul's and Simon. I thank you, God, that they are being grown and hewn and formed for your kingdom release. So we call greatness upon them. We call life upon them. And we thank you, Jesus, for blessing them this morning as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. So would you maybe stand up and honor our elder and friend and ministry leader and janitor. And no, he does it all. Tom Meeker. Come on up, Tom Meeker.
Well, good morning. Get this out of the way. I'm not great with some of the electronics yet. I guess maybe that's because of age. I don't know. But Dr. Dale said something which caught my eye. And I know that whenever the Lord has given me a word, I've always tended to try to back off because I don't like doing it. I'll be honest about it. I'm not a prophet. But I finally learned obedience, no matter what happens. The reason I say that is someone has been placed on my mind, not right now, but it's been on my mind, and it's kind of like heaven's been silent. But I've been praying and praying, and God said, I have a word for that person. And I want it to be given so others can hear for their benefit. And so with that, I'm going to do it right now. That way I can preach. Tom, stand up. You. I hear the Lord saying, how long must I wait? I've been speaking to you. I've been loving you. I've been encouraging you. But you've put yourself down saying, who am I? Who am I to do this? Or who am I to act like that? But God says, I created you for who you are. I want to take you right now, this very moment, and let me begin to transform you into the way I see you. Not the way you see you, not the way others see you, but the way I see you. And know this. It's up to you. You have to make the choice to let me do the work in and through you. Quit putting yourself down, but realize that you are in God and God is in you, and God has more for you to accomplish than you could either hope or imagine. And know this, what's behind is behind. There's a future ahead. Keep your eyes focused upon him and know he will begin to bring those things to pass that you so desire in your heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we should say amen. There's been a lot of good little sermons given already, so we could just, I have to admit I've wrestled with this. It's been on my mind for a long time. As a matter of fact, I remember it's been several months because one time I told Ron I had a word. Well, things kept getting in the way, and he said, well, just shelve it. And personally, I'd rather not give it. I'll be honest. Me, I like to always say something that doesn't get down and maybe shakes you up at all. I'm a loving guy. And I don't want to speak sweet things. But God. So I do ask one thing. Do not aim any shoes at me. But there's been so many things said today. I mean, rest. And I got to thinking, you know, when we come to a rest, God can begin to minister to us. I believe that's part of the reason why we keep so busy. It's kind of like, well, if I get really quiet, he might show me something that maybe I really know I ought to deal with, but I haven't. Have you ever felt that way? I still do at times. And I'm talking to you. This is not a message as such. I think it's more of some fatherly advice. Because, I think Dave is probably the oldest one in the house, and I'm probably right under him. So I can speak. You know, I am the graying elder. And this guy has really. But getting to back when we came here to church, we'd been in a church for approximately 3 years. Loved the church, loved the people, but we could never really fit. We just seemed like something was always missing. What is going on? So I finally, it took me going clear to Michigan in the winter to see my grandson play football that I got the answer. And it really rocked me. And it wasn't a big answer, but I says, God, all right, I want to know what is going on. Is it something we're doing or what? And the Lord said, did you ask me about being here? And I realized we went there because it felt good, it looked good, it was solid, we liked it, the people liked us, and we thought we was just going to be happily ever after. But if you're in a place and it's not where God has placed you, you will become miserable because God has a specific spot and place and thing for you to do. And when you're not there, guess what? The body of Christ is weakened, and you're weakened. But that's not my message.
Good word, though.
I got a question. How do you feel when maybe there's someone that just rubs you raw? And they're getting all these accolades, or you see them, you haven't seen them for a long time. How do you feel? You don't. I don't need any responses, but this. I say that because I've been there, done that, more than I should have after becoming a Christian. But today I want us to look at something, and if you'd show the first slide here. God has planted within us, when we said yes to Jesus, his very seed. That seed is to begin to sprout or to give out roots, and then it sprouts, and eventually it grows into maturity, and there should be something that we can get off of that maturity. I'm still growing. I thought there would come, I kept thinking, you know, once I get to my age, I can just begin to kind of relax because I've made it. Well, I found out the more I know, the more I find out I don't really understand. There's always more to be had, and I realize if I live to be 100, I'm going to still keep going after God and looking for all he has for me so that I can be a benefit to wherever I find myself. But many times we let ourselves become shortchanged. We've let the cares of the world enter in. We've let the things of the world. And I'm not saying that everything in the world is evil, but when we let the world control us, we have let go what the Holy Spirit really wants to do in our and through our lives. Believe me. And I don't care how young or how old, I don't care where you find yourself, that is always the temptation. We have to wrestle again. But praise God, we have that thing called the Holy Spirit within us, and he'll bring to mind what we need, and he'll show us and always provide a way out. But today I'd like to talk about something. I haven't heard a lot of messages, and this goes to a message I heard probably back in the early 80s. I was making my first trip to New Orleans. And man, I was excited. I'd never been to New Orleans. I was living in Lafayette, Louisiana, right in the heart of Cajun country. And the guy I was with was a Catholic. And he had started coming to a Bible study, which we held in a little town out in the middle of nowhere of Louisiana called Church Point. 99% Catholic. I never will forget the first time we went out there. I says, what have we gotten ourselves into? Number one, I don't know anything about Catholics. I was in a community where I met one Catholic in our school. And I thought they were entirely different than everybody else. But anyway, we got to be friends, and so he invited me to go with him. And on the way down, he brought up a certain name. I'm not going to bring the names up because I don't know where the ministries are today. But I just really want to show, no matter where you are, the evil one will try to find a crack in the armor so that he can get in at your weakest part of your and begin to grow his evil works. This guy had a message called The Root of Bitterness. And I mean, I wish that I still had the tape, but somehow I lost it. But this very guy, I mean, I had never heard such a message. I mean, it just rocked me when I heard it. I would listen to it and listen to it because, I mean, I was getting myself checked out. Do I have things in me that I need to deal with? Because if I'm going to call myself a man of God, am I clean? Yeah. This very man, what I didn't know, that he and another big ministry, these were both big ministries, had kind of a little feud going on with one another. Well, the other guy happened to get caught in something which was not of God. And this guy came out and just, I mean, sliced and diced this guy to pieces. This is what bitterness will do to us. See, we don't just hurt ourselves. We hurt those around us. And sometimes, and we all have opportunity. I'm going to share something I have never shared. I don't even know if I ever shared it with Sandy. One day, just not too long before Dad died, she just sat down with me and was just telling me some history of our family. And I was born out of wedlock. My mom was telling me what I say. Anyway, oh, I'm sorry. And she says, Tommy, don't call me Tommy, please. But she says, Tommy, I want to tell you something. She says, you know that we had to get married because of you. But the first thing your dad said to me was, why don't you have an abortion? And, you know, that rocked me. And it's like, first thing I just wanted to go back and say, Dad, how could? But then, thank you, Lord, that he showed me. Even Dad didn't come to me about that, but he tried to show me how much he loved by what he did. But I could have taken that and let that just to where it could have brought hatred toward my father. But God was there. And I'm way ahead of myself. So anyway, didn't Jesus say we're to go forth and produce what? What kind of fruit? So does that mean it's gnarly and shriveled up? And doesn't it mean something and is blemish free? And see what happens when we let these things get into our life. Then we begin to see that, you know, I have some work to do. And you say, yeah, but I got the seed of Christ. I got the perfect. Yes, you do. But also, when you got born again, guess what? This didn't get born again. Your memory didn't get born again. But your heart was changed. And then it is a process of making sure that heart does not become hardened and bitter. It's up to you to get into the Word of God and let it water your soul. Let it water that ground to keep it pliable to where it can be broken up and where things can come forth. Church, God wants to pour out like he's never poured out before, but it's going to be on people who have come under the light of God himself and saying, show me what I need to lay down for your glory. God has called us all. We all have a portion in this body of Christ to be all that he has called us to be. I haven't even got to the first scripture. Sorry about that. I had all these things here. Like I said, I've been wrestling. I kept saying, Lord, is there something else I can do? Something that's where we can just amen and praise God and hallelujah and get all excited. But I'm beginning to see Dad used to sit me down and tell me things that I should do or shouldn't do or could do or should think about. And today it says think about. We know that in our life, we had that good seed, but also some of the other things that from our life gets in there and contaminates, and we have other seed that gets into our lives. Remember the guy that had this crop, or his field was growing up, and the workers came and says, Master, Master, there's tares in the field. Shall we go and pull them all out? He says, no, wait. And harvest them all, and then separate the tares from the good stuff. You know, God is gentle with us. He doesn't just go yanking things out. I praise God that some people get totally set free just like that. I've never been that type of person. But I've been that type of person where when God says he's going to set me free from something, I know that he'll give me the faith to day by day walk it out until one day I'll say, hey, it happened. Yeah. I used to smoke. And I told Sandy the other day, I says, how could you stand being around me? I says, now if I get around someone smoking, it actually nauseates me. But did I just lay those things aside and say, bless God, I got it made? No, it was a day-by-day thing. I had a ritual. We'd have supper. I out in my garage, I had a workout bench. I would get up from supper. Instead of smoking, I went out and worked out. Got me in shape. But, you know, one day down the road, I saw that I was free. I was completely free. And that's how it is with these things that get in our lives. There's still some people that when I see that there's the little things, but it's like, devil, I'm not going to give in to that. I know what you have done in me. I know what you've done in them. And I choose to see them the way you see them. I think some of you know that I had a lady I called Mrs. Sandpaper. She literally rubbed me raw. And I was a lady in ministry. And we ended up leaving that ministry after a few years. And I went to a prayer meeting one day. It was a men's prayer meeting. And they had pews. And I had an old New American Standard always carried with me. As a matter of fact, I've still got some of the pages that are all, shriveled from the tears. And I was just crying out to the Lord. I said, God, it's not fair. Why all this? I left a good job to serve you. Here I am living in a place that's depressed. I mean, we don't even have two nickels to rub together. We don't know where our next house payment's coming from. I don't have a job. And God says, until you forgive that lady, you're not going any further. And that got my attention. And I says, okay, I forgive her by faith. And that's how I looked at it. Still, each day, when I thought about that lady, it was still Mrs. Sandpaper. But down the road, one day, I was praying for her, and I found myself actually, really, sincerely praying for her welfare. And I realized God had delivered me. And the reason I say that is not all of it. We're not all the same. Some of us react to some things differently. And God knows what it takes to get our attention. And me, apparently I must be a very hard-headed person that he has to pound me a few times to get me to open up. But anyway, now if you say, well, what happened? I have no idea. I really don't. And I praise God that for me, he actually took the bad memories away. I knew something happened, but there's nothing that the devil can grab a hold of to try to draw me back into it. And I believe that happens is when we totally trust God and say, Lord, you said you're going to set me free. Now set me free. And by faith, I'm going to do all I can to stay free. And you know what? When you cling to the mercy seat of God, when you stay in his word, and when you let him do what he wants to do in you, you're going to find yourself just saturated with his word, because it's like you just got to be in it. You got to be drinking the word. You got to be eating the word. You just got to be around it all the time, because you want to be more like him. You want to be more like your daddy. And that's what he's called us to be. Now, where do I get my scriptures in here? Well, in Genesis, it says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So we know that's a permanent, that's a promise. The scripture also tells us that whatever we sow, we'll reap. Sometimes I look back on our life and I says, well, where we find ourselves now, I says, did we sow a lot of bad stuff at work? But then I realized there is different avenues God has us walking. You see some people that are affluent, they have no lack of anything. Other people just barely getting by. And you might think, well, why didn't they make it? Each person has their own story. Do you have a story of hurt? I imagine if I went around the room, we could be here for a long time hearing all the hurts. But has those hurts been covered with the blood of Jesus? See, that's the whole thing. Is the blood of Jesus, have you let it be applied to your heart? to where it'll wash away all those things. You know, I could go into all kinds of stories from my family. You know, virtually out of my mom and dad, I ended up with virtually not hardly a thing to remember my parents by. Everybody else. But did that let me get bitter toward the others? It's like, no. They did what they felt they needed to do, and I'm doing what I need to do because I'm the child of God. And my Father says, nothing that comes against me will prosper as long as I hold His hand and trust Him to deliver me and set me free. Put up the next slide, if you would. But I just want us to look at some of these, what happens in our lives when we let offense come into us. Have you ever been around someone that's super insecure? He might be quiet, but I was really insecure. Because, see, when I was raised that if you didn't do right, all these things is going to happen. In other words, I heard all the curses. Even though they was well-meaning, I heard all the curses of life. And guess what? I believed it. But the Word of God says I've been released from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. Now, I can pick and choose. Am I going to follow God's way? Or am I going to nurse all the things that I couldn't do? I miss God getting into the ministry years before I did. Why? Well, you barely got through high school. You didn't go to college. You didn't go to seminary. You didn't go to Bible school. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. But I found in here that God took some of the most unlikely people and made them successes for His glory. And when I saw that, I says, that means He's got something for me to do, and I'm going to do it regardless what anybody thinks. And people thought I was stupid when I says I'm going to quit a good job and follow the Lord. I mean, I thought I was stupid. But I had heard God speak, and I could not shake it, and I says, I got to obey. All right, we got off on track again. But the apostle, well, not the apostle, in Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews, because there's a lot of discussion. Who wrote Hebrews? Well, I still think it's Paul, but I'm not going to. Hebrews 3:12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, which is today. And this is where we are. We need to exhort one another. When we see people that really just, you know, you can tell when someone's not on top. We just need to be there, not necessarily. We don't have to know why, but we just need to be with that encouraging hand or what, however the Lord leads and directs you to do it, but to help them up. Let them know they're not going through this by themselves. You know, when Ron and Donna showed, I do remember you coming to the hospital twice. No, I asked her, I said, what happened at the hospital? Whatever they had me on, it's kind of like it wiped me clean of everything. But when I realized I was alive, I says, okay, God, now what? Because we're in transition. We talk about it a lot. What is God really expecting at this time of life from us? Because I'm finally admitting I'm old. But I'm not going to let old keep me in the chair. I'm going to let this right here says, I have more to do. And I've had enough words in my life that I'm going to live them out and see them come to fruition because they were spoken by God, and what God's spoken, what has been spoken by God will not fall to the earth. It will accomplish. It says every word he speaks will accomplish what he spoke it to accomplish. So if he's spoken something in you, don't give it up. Don't give up. That's what the devil wants. And about the time you give up, you find out the victory was just one step away. So too, amen. Seeds of offense. And we've all seen people like that. I know when I get around people, they stay negative. I kind of try to bow out because it's contaminating. I know where we live in a mobile home park, and most of the time the people are really loving and friendly, but when it comes to the things of the park, oh my goodness. And it's kind of like I don't even like to go to any of the meetings because you walk out there and it's kind of like, ooh, I just need to take a shower. I just need to get all this yucky off of me. Y'all know what I mean. But people are insecure. And then they begin to produce that fruit of resentment. And then our choices become clouded. That's why we have to drive ourselves to the Word of God. It's in the Word of God where we find the reality of who we've been created to be. True. Listen to me. Don't think I'm saying you just got to study every moment of the day. No, but God has given you, and God will give you your heart's desires if you keep focusing on him. And he'll lead you. He'll get you into the right books. He'll get you around to the right people. It's like when we came here. You know, when Sandy asked me, it was like maybe the fourth visit we came here. She says, are you ready? And I says, bless God, I'm not going to fall in. And then I realized I was not going to. But then I realized we saw their hearts. And I says, you know, I see what's going on. And I says, all I know, what can we do to help? We had no ambitions of being anything but just clean the floors, clean the bathrooms. Seriously. Because, you know, we've been in ministry. We've been out of ministry. We've been in ministry. But we have found that wherever we found ourselves, God would use us there for his purposes. Go to slide 3. Here's where I believe sometimes we find ourselves. We think we can pull that out all by ourselves, and we don't realize how big it is. Wow. You ever go out in your yard and you see a weed and you say, bless God, I got the whole thing. What, the next day, brand new shoot coming up. We can't get the whole thing out, but Jesus can, and Jesus will, but he says, what are you going to do? Are you going to give it to me? Because, see, he wants us to be a people that are free in him. He wants to be able to, he has so much to speak to you and me, if we'll just let him. I know getting ready for this, it was last night, I kept thinking, boy, I need more. I need this, need that. Well, I haven't even hardly been able to use it, but if nothing else, I learned some things for me. And that's the whole thing. And whatever I learn, unless he tells me to keep my trap shut, I'm going to give it out, because if he's given me something real, I want to give it to someone else that, in hopes that they can get the same thing I got and even go further. It's like with Pastor Kirk taking over Team Life, I'm excited because he'll take it further than what we can take it. Really, I mean, that's what it's all about, is giving away our faith, because when we give away our faith, more faith comes in. It's just a process. The more seeds we scatter of good, the bigger the crop comes up. And we might as well go to the last slide. I give up. Well, it's been a long time since I had to say I was kind of numb. It's like, well, do things still work like they used to work? You know, someone says, well, you know, you never forget how to ride a bike. I says, yeah, but when you get on, it's kind of shaky at first. But it says, we, slide five, please. See, it is a how-to on being free from bitterness. Jesus did it all on the cross when he says, it is finished. Your bitterness was done with. But the evil one tries to bring that stuff back to you and say, look what you haven't dealt with. Jesus dealt with it. And Jesus will set you free from it. As a matter of fact, some of the people you might have had the most bitterness against might turn out to be the ones that you love the most. Think about that. I know there's still some names that there's one. We were in a, when it was pastor, and we had this guy come to our church, became part of it. And I didn't know till after I had resigned that he had was actually going behind my back sowing discord in the church. And after we had moved down here, I get a, will you be my friend on Facebook? And I had to say, I had to deal with it. And I said, well, I realized that he was immature and I was immature when it come to letting him back into my life. But I said, Lord, I've forgiven that guy. I just want to see him excel in the things of God. And I'm going on with the way God wants me to be. So no matter where you find yourself, there is a way out. He says, no one misses the grace of God. See to it that you don't miss that grace and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. When things aren't going our way and we find, you ever find yourself where you get so angry you almost feel like you're going to start swearing? That means there's some dirt in your life that still hasn't been cleansed out yet. We're human. We are working our way toward heaven. We're working our way toward being before God for eternity. And we are going to have some mishaps. But we have a God that doesn't say, why did you do that? We have a God that says, come on, you can do better. Come on, you can do better. Get up and walk with me. Let me clean you off and let me take you where you were. Not go back and start over square one, but right where you left off, let me get you back on trail. God loves you, but please don't let discouragement that other people have caused you get in the way or hurts. Have you heard the excuse where people say, yeah, but you just don't know what I went through? And really, if they're really hard-nosed about it, I said, have you died on the cross? And really, we need to think, have we died? Apparently, if we got these things we refuse to let go of, there's some areas that we need to be nailed to the cross again and let the blood of Jesus continue cleansing and restoring, reviving and releasing us to every good work that God has called us to do. Amen. Well, thank you for this opportunity, and if you need prayer, we're here. I'll turn things back over to my loving pastor, Ron, and